Now, for me, I was really introduced to Pastor Gary. I've seen him from afar over the years as a presbyter and as a pastor in the state, in the district. But I was about to speak in a convention. We had a Connected conference a few years back, and the Lord had put a word on my heart, and I was really impassioned about it. It was something on the inside. And I ran into Brother Gary. I don't even know if he remembers this, but I ran into him in the hallway. He was either at the restaurant or at the church, one of the two. And he just felt led of the Lord to place his hands on me and to pray for me. And I have to tell you, you know, sometimes you get in ministry, you don't always sense the Spirit of the Lord all the time. You just do it because you do it by faith, you know. But then there's those moments where the presence of the Lord tangibly comes upon you. I had one of those moments when Brother Gary laid his hands on me. And since then, we've talked a lot about the Holy Spirit, the move of God in the churches and in the generations. And we have such a kindred spirit and passion. And so when we were bringing Revive here, I was so excited to ask Brother Gary to come and minister to you, because I know he flows in the wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit. And we wanted to bring that to our section. And so tonight, I hope you open up your hearts, you open up your spirit to receive from the Lord, not from him, but from the Lord. Would you please welcome Pastor Gary Grogan to the platform?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's great to be here. KKGG. KK. We definitely don't want to say KKK. That would be really bad. I told Pastor Kevin I'm not used to being around so many white people, okay? White people are in the minority in our church. We're in a college town. We're down at Urbana, University of Illinois, and we have about 60 different nations represented every single Sunday morning. I'm in my 27th year there. I know many of the pastors from the day when I was the state youth and college director. Mike Massey back there is a long-term cohort in crime. Those of you from his church, I pray for forgiveness for you and for him. And honestly, Pastor Moore, one of the young men from his church, has become one of my sons in the faith. We helped him start a church 9 years ago today in Fresno, California. That church is running 450 now. Kevin Foster, he's one of the best soul-winning pastors I've ever had on staff. I have our next-gen pastor with us tonight. I'm going to ask John Hales. He's from England, so if you cannot understand him, just stand up and wave at everybody, John. Good to have you here. Okay. And Charlene Gandia, she is from Zimbabwe via England also. She's just joined us as an intern for this next year. Good to have Charlene here with us. I had a full day yesterday. I can't even remember what I did yesterday, but I had three services this morning, and by the time we visited with people and prayed with people at our church, had 15 minutes. My wife had put pork chops in the crock pot, and we wolfed that down. We're kind of like living in a college dorm. We're having our kitchen remodeled. We've been married 41 years, and so I say, honey, it's so nice to have you come and visit my dorm room. And we're like a couple of young lovebirds. The downstairs is just totally, completely torn up. So far, she's only hollered at me twice. It's been pretty good. And we drove all the way up here. It's a long ways up here from Urbana, Illinois. And we just trust that our time together will be beneficial for all of us, every single one of us. Nobody's any better than anybody else. But I love pastors. I love pastors' wives, pastors' families. The Holy Spirit told me many years ago that ministry to ministers is ministry to masses. I'm going to England, or going to India rather, in January, Lord willing, to minister to 300 rural pastors who do not have an opportunity for education. And I'm really looking forward to that. And I'd rather do that than preach a big rally outdoors or something. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, if you would. You're familiar with the passages there. Verses 22 and following in regards to the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to zero in on a verse, the next to the last verse in that chapter. Let me just say, Pastor Kevin, that you are a real encouragement to me. You're a young, cool-looking, hipster type of pastor. You don't have any facial hair yet. Usually you guys have some cool facial hair right here, and but I'm so appreciative for your heart and your spirit. And I'm not against post-modernity. We need to reach the younger generation. The best thing baby boomers and baby builders can do is not criticize the generations that come after you, but just get to know them. Spend time with them. Invite them over to your home and cook them a meal and give them a dessert. And if the music's too loud, just bring earplugs to church with you, or help park cars or work in the children's ministry until the time of the sermon comes. And don't cause division, and let's just reach this next generation for Jesus. Because the Xers and the millennials in our country are going to hell in a handbasket. And I'm just happy to see such a multi-generational meeting here tonight. I see some that I think would fall into that baby builders generation, World War II generation, and you are the greatest generation among us. The America of today will never be like the America of your day, and we just honor you. And those of us that are baby boomers, we've made a lot of mistakes, and we've passed all that on to our Xers, and now our millennials will be inheriting that. And the best thing that we can do, my generation and the one before me, is to spend time with this younger generation. Because I do see a hunger and a passion in them to learn. When I first went in the ministry, it was very hard to find a mentor and a spiritual father. It was very hard to find somebody who would spend time with you as a younger minister and invest in you. And the idea was, okay, you say you're called to this community. Well, we will give you permission, and then, boy, you just go over there and let's see if you got the goods and you make it happen. And that's not the way it works. One generation has to pass it on to the next generation. It's very biblical. We see it with Moses and Joshua. We see it with Elijah and Elisha. We see it with Jesus and the disciples. We see it with Paul and Timothy and Titus. And it's God's plan that one generation ministers to the next generation. And so I'm just so very happy here tonight to see such a cross-generational mix. The older generation, let us not despise the younger generation. And I would ask you youngsters, not to make fun of us older people, but to respect us and honor us just because we've made it this far. I mean, I've been married 41 years, and my wife still gets me excited. And that's something to brag about. You know, one of the things I love, this guy over here, he was Asian on the guitar, right? The guy that was jumping around and everything. Asian dude, I don't know if he's Filipino or what he is, but one of the things I love about Asian culture is the way that they respect the elders. And they feel a responsibility to take care of the elders. And that's the way it works in our church. And I have an idea that's the way it works up here. So much more I could say. But just thank you for not leaving out missions. Thank you for not leaving out the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. You should have some sermon sections that were handed out to you. If not, maybe some ushers can do that real quick. And you can see that I want to talk to you about some reasons that we all need to flow in God's power. And I'm just going to read part of verse 25 of Paul's writing there to the church at Galatia in chapter 5. And he says in the New King James Version of the Bible, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." And I don't know if that's on the screen. It is. Could we just read that out loud together? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And the NIV of that says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, here's what I know. One of the things I know about the person and work of the Holy Spirit, He is always leading us deeper into our relationship with God and always sending us further, farther out into the world to meet the needs of other people. The leading of the Holy Spirit is two-dimensional in our lives. It happens simultaneously at the same time. When we give the Holy Spirit room and we give the Holy Spirit space and we're willing to talk to the Holy Spirit, I see no prohibition in the scripture of praising and even worshiping and praying to the Holy Spirit. We believe in God the Father. We believe in God the Son. And we believe in God the Holy Spirit. And He always leads us deeper in our relationship with the Father, deeper in our relationship with the Son, and He always sends us out farther into the world to meet the needs of humanity. There's so many reasons why you and I need to flow in the Holy Spirit's presence and power. And the first one is to show this old sick world God's incredible compassion. God is a compassionate God. God is a loving God. He is a benevolent God. Matthew in his gospel, chapter 9, verses 35 and 36 says, Jesus went all through the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Some translations say he was moved with compassion because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. How many of you know that people are spiritually sick? People are spiritually hopeless. People are spiritually afflicted. People are spiritually oppressed. People are messed up, at least in my part of the state. I counseled one guy who his wife, he lives on this end of the home with their child, and he allows his wife to live on the other end of the home and sleep in bed with her boyfriend. I would call that messed up. I was talking with another family, and they're professionals in our community, and the wife caught her husband in bed with another woman for the 8th time. A college girl last spring confessed to me that she was addicted to sex. I wanted to say to her, I bet you don't have any trouble finding boyfriends, but I didn't. But I thought about it. Absolutely messed up. A guy called me on the phone early this past spring, and by the time I got there, he had hung himself. But the God we serve, He loves people so much, and that's why He gave us Jesus. And that's why Jesus suffered a torturous, horrible death on the cross of Calvary, because He loves people so much. And this is why God the Father gave us Jesus, and why Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. They are tools for us to use to demonstrate the wonderful compassion and love of our wonderful God. I want everybody to serve Him because He's so wonderful and it's such a great way to live. Spiritual gifts are tools for us to demonstrate the compassion and love of God. They are not toys. They are tools to accomplish God's work. They are tools to speed up God's work in the world. Fall is coming. Summer is over. And the leaves are going to turn colors. And you can rake those leaves if you want. Ooh, I just scratched your floor. I'll be careful not to do that again. I apologize to those who are in charge of the stage. Actually, there's dirt on the end of this. Those are not scratches, so I'm going to keep doing it. Okay? You'll just have to wipe it up. If you're smart, you'll wear gloves, because if you have a big yard like me, if you keep raking, you're going to get some blisters. And you can do that if you want. You can just take all day long if you want. But what you can also do, Pastor, do you want to show me? Oh, never mind. But what you can also do is get one of these leaf blowers. Who's ever in charge of the stage, it's all clean right now. Listen, that's why the Holy Spirit gave us His gifts. You can do church the laborious way, the tedious way, the no fun way, or you can pick up God's power tools and you can demonstrate His incredible love to this sick, helpless, afflicted culture in which we live. A businessman came to me. His pastor was leaving town. I did the pastor's prayer network in our community for 10 years. We had 80 to 120 pastors every single month, and we would sing, and then we would pray, have a little devotion, and then we would pray, and then we would have a meal together. Incredible unity among many of the pastors in our community and churches. It's just so great. And he said, "Hey, Gary, I've got to leave. I'm going out of town." Actually, he's going on a missions trip like we prayed for here tonight. And Gary, I trust you, and I just need you to talk to this guy. And he's a leader in our church, and he's just doing terrible. I don't know what's going on in his life. And I said, "Well, brother," I said, "man, my schedule's absolutely full today. But I tell you what, if he'll come and see me at noon, I can live without lunch. If he'll come and see me at noon today, I'll talk to him." So after my last session, I'm praying a little bit. I'm using my prayer language. I'm using the beauty of spiritual language, of heavenly language. And I'm like, "Holy Spirit, you've got to help me. I don't have time to build confidence and pastoral trust with this guy. You just got to help me to get to the root of the problem." There's always surface issues. There's always intermediate issues. But one of the things that the Holy Spirit does when we flow in His power, He helps us to discern what those root issues are. And the guy comes in and he looks terrible. I mean, he looks worse than Joe Myers. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that, Pastor Joe. I'm just kidding. Hi, Joe and Linda. God bless you. We love you. You maybe don't love me anymore, but... And he comes in. I found out he hadn't slept in like 6 or 7 nights. He just looked terrible. He's a successful businessman in our community. His wife didn't look much better, and he's talking to me, and all of a sudden, God the Holy Spirit, I understood that he was talking to his dead father. That man was talking to his dead father. That's called necromancy. It's strictly forbidden in the book of Deuteronomy. I said, "Sir, you claim to be a born-again Christian. You claim that you've given your life to Jesus Christ." And the Holy Spirit of God just showed me that you've been talking to your dead father. It was like I threw a bucket of water on him. He fell out of the chair on the carpet in my office, curled up in a fetal position and began to sob. His wife is shaking. I mean, you know, these are not people from a spirit-filled church, and I'm kind of treading on dangerous water here. She said, "How did you know that?" I said, "Because God the Holy Spirit told me. He has all knowledge. He just gave me a little bit of that knowledge to save us some time here to get the leaves off the yard, and He just wants to show you how much He loves you." And I said, "Sir, just repent of your sin. You've rebelled against the Word of God. You've rebelled against God. Just confess your sin. That's the key to your deliverance." And he did, and he was almost asleep by the time he left my office. Another reason we need to flow in God's power is so that we can reflect His wonderful nature, His wonderful character. If you'll read in verses 22 and 23 of Galatians chapter 5, just a few verses earlier, from our launching pad text that we took off tonight. You know what the fruit of the Spirit are, love and joy and peace and all those things. This is why God, the Holy Spirit, has given us His gifts. It's why we need to flow in His power to show people what God's character and nature and His intrinsic values are. Because Hollywood won't show them that. I mean, I went to the Noah movie. You just had to disengage your Bible brain in that thing. It was just a total waste of money. The God that we serve is a supernatural God. And He has the ability to do things beyond our natural realm. We do the natural, and then He does the super. And you may feel inadequate to do this. You may feel like, "I'm not very spiritual. I can't really flow in God's power. Like Pastor said, I don't always feel Him. I just walk by faith." You don't have to feel Him. All you have to do is show up. All you have to do is say, "God, I want to be a reflection of Your character and Your nature. I want to show people how wonderful You are and how good You are." Hebrews 10:36 says this, "But you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may obtain the promise. we want the promise. We maybe will do the will of God, but we don't want to endure. But according to the writer of Hebrews, the biblical order is endurance. It's one of the highest of the Christian virtues. You just put one foot in front of the other. You just read your Bible. You just show up for the place of prayer. You just show up for the place of service. You just endure. You just be patient. You just do the will of God, and then eventually you will obtain the promise. Pastor Mike will remember at one of our very first youth camps back in the 1980s, I had been traveling across the U.S. and Canada preaching youth camps, and it always bothered me that the leaders never dealt with theft in those camps. A Christian camp, and people would steal. It was just an oxymoron to me. It just always really bothered me. I did my own youth camps as a youth pastor, but I certainly didn't think that I'd be in charge of a statewide youth camp program. And so when that happened, assembled some leaders who were like-minded, of a like spirit. And it was one of our very first youth camps. This kid from, little kid, junior high kid, from this little town somewhere in southern Illinois comes up to me, just all brokenhearted. His brand new camera had been stolen from camp. And I was, or it was a girl, and I was just ticked off about it. That was King James Day. I was just ticked off about it. And I don't know, it was just the righteousness of God just welled up on the inside of me. It's just not right. And because it was a guy, that's right, it was a boy. Because it was a boy, we had an assembly right before the lunch, dismissed all the girls. And then I started talking to all the boys about Ananias and Sapphira. And I started talking to all the boys about Hophni and Phinehas. And I started talking about the fear of God and how big this God is that we serve. And all power belongs to Him, the psalmist said in Psalm 68. And if He wanted, He could squash us all out like a bunch of bugs. And I said, look, I'm not mad at you. Totally, I'm not going to send you home. I'm going to do something to you. I don't know what it is. Clean a toilet out with a toothbrush. I don't know what it's going to be. I'm going to do something, but I just want you to give the camera back to the little guy that you stole the camera from. Nobody fessed up. I said, everybody bow your head, raise your hand. And the musicians, one of them's name was Jim. I said, Jim, quit goofing off. I mean, I was so serious. I'm like, God's in this place. And nobody responded. So I started walking through the crowd, dismissing kids that I knew, kids that I trusted, kids that I had relationship with. And that crowd starts dwindling, and it starts dwindling. And all of a sudden, it's God's character that's online, and it's God's reputation that's online. I said, God, I've gotten myself in a mess here. And you got to help me. You got to show me who did this. And it came down to 7 boys. And finally, one boy elbowed the other one like this. And they both looked up and went, I said, okay. And one of those boys is a pastor in our state right now. He's a pastor in our state. I got to hurry up. Listen. We flow in God's power so we can reflect God's character. And thirdly, we flow in God's power so we can destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8, for this reason was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the devil. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. This is a radical but true statement. If you do not flow in the gifts, in the power of God, then you will not do what Jesus Christ did. Some people wrongly say, don't seek the gift, seek the giver. But I would say, what gift have you ever received from God that you did not ask Him for? You ask Him for the gift of salvation. You ask Him for the gift of the Holy Spirit baptism. You ask Him for more grace and more presence in your life. I've never seen anyone who did not ask flow in the gifts and flow in God's power. We were at Daily Center Plaza in Chicago Outreach Days with David Wilkerson. And we had great big speakers set up. I don't know, they were stacked on top of each other. They were probably 10, 12 feet tall. Maybe some of you were there. And we were singing, and David Wilkerson was preaching, and God gave David Wilkerson this incredible word, and he said, God is showing me that there's somebody here, you're running from God, and he wants me to tell you, no matter how far you run, you cannot run from him. Have you ever been to Daily Center Plaza? I mean, that's a place of influence. That's a place of political and human power. And people are moving out and in and out of there who are worth millions, who have political power in America's third largest city. He said, the Lord showed me right now that there's somebody within the sound of my voice. Well, those speakers were 12 feet tall. Man, that went a long ways. And you're away from God. And you used to preach the gospel. And God, the Holy Spirit, he's like a hound from heaven. And he's on you right now. And then he stops and he says, the Holy Spirit told me no matter how fast you run, you cannot run away from God. And that was kind of it. And then we went to ministering people around the front. And all of a sudden, here comes this middle-aged man in a wind suit. And he's all out of wind. And he said, who's in charge? And somebody pointed at me. And I said, no, I think it's this guy in charge. I didn't want to be in charge in that minute right now. He said, that preacher that was on the microphone, he said, that's me. I used to preach the gospel, and I'm living with a woman here in Chicago, and I've broken my wife's heart, and I've shamed my family and my children, and I've turned my back on God. I've been running away from God, and I heard him say that, and I picked up the speed, and I started running as fast as I could run, and then I heard him say, no matter how fast you can run, you cannot outrun God. He said, I might as well come back to Jesus. This is why we are given the gifts of the Spirit, to destroy the works of the devil. We're also given the gifts of the Spirit. Another reason that we need to flow in God's power is so that we can build up God's people. We can edify God's people. Number four. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, so it is with you, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts. I want you to be eager after spiritual gifts. I want you to desire spiritual gifts. I want you to ask for the assistance of the Holy Spirit in your Christian life. I want you to expect to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit leading you, guiding you, and directing you. So it is with you, since you are eager to have spiritual gifts. Try to excel in gifts that build up the church. Every pastor knows there are people that are gifted to tear down the church. But the Bible says we need to be gifted to build up the church. This is the real purpose of the gifts, to build up God's people. Just this morning, after our 10:30 service, meeting people, praying with people, a lady comes up, introduces me to another lady. Her name was Karen. And we just exchanged a few little greetings, and I said, well, Karen, I just want to pray for you. I just began to pray for her there in the lobby. I suppose up in this part of the country, you called it a narthex. We just began to pray for her in the lobby of the church. And I was praying for her. I just had an understanding. You can call it what you want, a word of knowledge, a prophecy. I just had an understanding. And in my prayer, I just prayed, Lord, I just have this sensing that Karen has really been trying to find a job. And she's just hitting a dead end. And she's experiencing great feelings of rejection. And you know how when you pray for people, you can just really tell if it's getting through? And I could just tell. And all of a sudden, I heard her sniffling, and I kind of did a Pentecostal peeky-boo, you know? And I'm like, yes. And I just prayed with great faith. Lord, you know what Karen's going through. And I have this sensing, Lord, that Karen is looking for a church. And I do not want her to feel recruited here by you. Your Spirit lives in her, because she'd already told me she was a born-again Christian. Lord, I just pray that by your Spirit, you would lead her to the right church. This is why we're given the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to edify God's people. She hugged me. She said, I feel like I'm on cloud nine. There's a guy in our church by the name of John Worders. He looks like Santa Claus. Really, he does. I mean, he has pictures that a professional photographer has taken of him. The dude is Saint Nicholas. He's in our church. After one of our early services, I just called everybody forward and I said, let's just, before we go home, just give the Lord a little bit of time, just a few minutes, and wait and see what the Lord wants to do among us. And so we just sang a simple chorus or two, and I didn't make a big deal out of it. I didn't do it over the microphone or anything like that. Here was this new family that I'd never seen before that I came to learn. Their name was John and Barb Worders. Santa Claus, Saint Nicholas. And he's standing right here. And I just laid my hands on him and I said, sir, the Holy Spirit shows me that you've been called the black sheep. You are not a black sheep. The truth is, you've been reading your New Testament, and God is opening your eyes and showing you that He's alive today, that His power hasn't changed. He came from a church that taught cessationist theology, that with the death of the Apostle John, God doesn't move anymore in the way that He moved in the book of Acts. And he had been kicked out of his church by his elders, and they called him a black sheep. That guy's been in the church ever since. And he pays tithes. I'm here to tell you, you just cannot go wrong flowing in God's power, because it edifies God's people. Another thing that flowing in God's power will do for us, it will arm us and enable us to confront the darkness. Whether you realize it or not, there's real spiritual battle going on all around us. In Acts chapter 16, you read about Paul's encounter with the fortune teller, and then eventually the Holy Spirit reveals to him what was really, truly the problem. I was in Springfield, Illinois, preaching for Mark Johnson, called people forward. And now young people are covertly rebellious. But back then, they were overtly rebellious. I mean, they were just rebellious in your face. In those days when we would preach youth meetings, students would stand up and they would give us the universal sign, not of peace, if you know what I mean. Right in the middle of the service, they would just stand up and give us the universal greeting. I mean, now young people are just passively rebellious. They just, on the outside, they obey. But on the inside, they're rebellious. That maybe is worse. But in those days, people were just in your face rebellious. And there was this coven in Springfield, Illinois, that decided they were going to come to this youth group and they were going to break it up because one of their friends had started going to the youth group and had given their life to Jesus. They had gotten saved. And so I have this line, and I'm moving down the line, and we're ministering to people, and young people are giving their lives to Jesus and being Holy Spirit baptized. And I get to the leader of this coven, and he says to me, I put a hex on you. Well, we had awesome worship that night. We preached the gospel without hindrance. Young people were coming to Jesus. They were receiving prayer. They were being Holy Spirit baptized. And he said, I put a hex on you. And I just started laughing. And I said, didn't work, did it? That's why the whole... And he just took off running with his whole little coven. Just took off running out of the church. You've got to flow in God's power if you want to see people saved. The devil told me that my father would never be saved. But every day before school, we had a prayer meeting. And every day, I would go in and lay hands on my unconscious father. I would lay hands on him. And I would prophesy his salvation. And on Christmas Eve, 1968, watching an old black and white television, watching Billy Graham, my father knelt at our living room couch, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Since we live in the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit so that we can show God's compassion. We can reflect God's character. We can destroy the works of the devil. We can edify God's people. It will arm us, enable us to confront the darkness that is all around us. Now, all of this starts, the key to this, is having an authentic relationship with the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Some of the last words of Jesus Christ were in Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." The Holy Spirit coming upon us is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. I prefer to call it the Holy Spirit baptism. And it changes our lives. You've got to understand that Jesus has more for you. There are some requirements. You got to be born again. You got to be thirsty. You have to believe. You can have a four-dimensional relationship with the Holy Spirit. First, you have to understand the Holy Spirit is with you. Jesus said so in John 14:7. "My Spirit has been with you." In Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, God said, "My Spirit will not always strive with man." The indication is God's Spirit does strive with us. Especially if you're praying for somebody. You're praying for an unsaved daughter, an unsaved son, an unsaved grandchild. I want you to know on the authority of God's Word that the Holy Spirit is with them. You do not know what they're thinking in the twilight hours of the night when they lay their head down in their pillow, or they're spending some time alone, or they hear something that somebody says casually, or a song that's on the radio. You don't know what the Holy Spirit uses, and all of a sudden they have this sensing that God is with them. We have a little biker guy in our church. His name is Dave. And if you're a biker, you've all got nicknames. His nickname is Pigpen. And when he came to Jesus, I don't have time to tell the story, but he was just so happy to be saved. We have a multicultural church. You got to have a choir in a multicultural church. He joined the choir. He's right in the middle. He's jumping up and down like Tigger on Winnie the Pooh the whole time. He's just so happy to be free and so happy to know Jesus. And Dave will tell you that before he was saved, he didn't know it, but his grandmother and his future in-laws were praying for his salvation. And they saw no evidence that the Holy Spirit was with him. All he wanted to do was join the army, drink beer, and go kill people. That's all he wanted to do. That's it. And he would get on his big Harley, and he would head for a tree or a concrete embankment at a bridge somewhere along one of our Illinois highways, and he would run into it hoping to commit suicide. And at the last split second, right before he went unconscious, this happened four times, God the Holy Spirit spoke to that unsaved man and said, "I have plans for you." You see, God loved the man. He didn't like what the man was doing, but God loved the man. You need to realize, if your spouse has died, the Holy Spirit's still with you. It's lonely in that home, I know. But God the Holy Spirit is with you. If you're in college, God the Holy Spirit is with you. If you're in high school, God the Holy Spirit is with you. You need to understand that. It will help you to live a righteous life. It will help you to walk in holiness. God the Holy, that is a relationship with the Holy Spirit that we need to embrace and that is precious. Also, the Holy Spirit is in you. If you're a born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit is in or within you. Again, John 14:17, "My Spirit has been with you. Now he will be in you," Jesus said. If you say, "Well, hey, I'm born again, I got the Holy Spirit in me," you are absolutely correct. You are 1,000% correct. When you ask Jesus to come into your life, how does he come into your life? Through the person and work of the Holy Spirit. You need to understand, he's not way out there. People say, my prayers can't get to heaven. They don't need to get to heaven. The Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. Another relationship that you can have with the Holy Spirit is being led by him. Romans 8:14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We could read it this way and not do any injustice to the text. Sons of God, children of God, are led by the Spirit of God. Spirit of God wants to lead you. I went with a college group to Rome, Italy, got lost, and some guys started chasing me. Obviously, they wanted to rob me, I guess, for that emetic and greenback dollar. And they're chasing me, and there'd be a guy out in front, so I'd have to run this way. And I realized later on they had it all blocked off. And I'd run down this street, and there'd be guys down there, and so I'd have to run down this way. And I'm running down this street, and these guys are chasing me. And God the Holy Spirit said, step closer to the building. And I'm so glad I obeyed. Don't always immediately obey, do we? But I stepped closer to the building like that as I'm running. And a great big box of boards and bricks and garbage landed right where I was walking, running. If it wouldn't have broke my neck, it sure would have been stinky and discomfortable. Uncomfortable. I'm just so happy that we can be led by... It's not all up to us. I'm not smart enough to pastor in a college town. I mean, the longer I'm there, the less qualified I am. I never planned on it this way, but most of my elders have PhDs. And they ask really hard questions. And I will say, Dr. Gary, that is a great question. Who would like to find the answer to that question? Because I don't know. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us, even in the little practical things of life. And the Holy Spirit wants to come upon us. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's the Greek word, ephumos. The Holy Spirit, at times, wants to come upon you. It works this way. This pitcher and this water represents the person and work of the Holy Spirit that we are trying to demystify. We want people to have a relationship. In the America, you don't need the Holy Spirit to build a church in America. All you got to do is have some money and have the right property and the right buildings, and you do not need the Holy Spirit. But I listen, this January, this will be my 83rd or 84th country that I will be in, my 53rd or my 54th to preach the gospel in. And I've been out there in villages in Tanzania where all they had for instruments were hollow logs and sticks. But I felt the presence of God like I've never felt the presence of God. And you need the Holy Spirit there when the witch doctor's putting curses on you. But in our culture, you don't. But that doesn't mean it's right. I don't want to be a part of the Laodicean church. I don't want a form of godliness, but deny the power. I don't believe you have to lose your mind to be Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered and Spirit-filled, but you got to lay your mind on the altar. This is God, the Holy Spirit, and this is you and me. And when we give our lives to Jesus, He comes into our lives through the person and work of the Holy Spirit, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit wants to come upon you and empower you for Christian service and mission and give you victory over sin. And we call that the Holy Spirit baptism, and that water that splashed out, that's just the tongues. Hallelujah. Stand with me, please. I'm going to ask all of us, 100%, musicians, come on down here. All of us, 100%. I'm going to ask you to get next to somebody that's not your age group. I'm going to ask older people to get next to younger people, and younger people get next to older people. And for just a few minutes, and if you can't stand, then you can just come and sit on the front row. So everybody just move up this way. Just move up this way. Maybe push the front rows back. Some of you big guys, push the front rows back so we have just a little bit more room there. And I want you to get to somebody from a different generation than you. If you're a baby builder, a baby boomer like me, get with an Xer, get with a millennial, get with a young adult or a college student or a high school student or something like that. And I want to talk to you about how to receive this Holy Spirit baptism. How to receive this Holy Spirit baptism. Let's not be afraid to give room to the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
We cannot do this on our own. When you're young, you're always interested in methodology. Everybody take a step or two forward, would you please? You're always interested in how-tos. How-tos. There's more how-tos now than in the history of the church. And I'm not against any of that. We got plenty of room to fill in right here. And if you can't stand, just sit on the front rows, that's fine. Man, it's been a long day. Whew, it's a long ways up here. Hi, baby, how are you? What's your name? All right, nice to meet you, Jenna. Bless you. We love you, Jenna. We're so proud of you. Let me talk to you about how to let the Holy Spirit come upon you. How to let the Holy Spirit come upon you. If you put the first slide up there, 6 steps on how to receive the Holy Spirit baptism. First of all, you got to thirst. Jesus said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. There's got to be a spiritual thirst in your life. I heard a radio preacher one time say, when you get Jesus, you get the whole ball of wax. Now, I know what he was trying to do. He was trying to preach on the all-sufficiency of Christ. That's called Christology. Good doctrine on how Jesus completely paid the price for our salvation. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches salvation first, Holy Spirit coming upon you, Holy Spirit baptism next. You've just got to believe that there's more. That's the next step, I think. First of all, you thirst, and then you ask. Ask, seek, knock. Ask and it'll be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open unto you. If you don't ask, don't worry, nothing will happen to you. Oh, you know, I'm going to get a demon. If I ask for the Holy Spirit, I'm going to get a demon. I've got a Greek word for that. You really think here in God's presence, after we sang songs about His majesty and we praised Him and worship Him and we listened to instruction from the Word of God, you really think the Lord's going to step to the side and say, okay, you demons, come on in and get that person? Not on your life. He's your elder brother. Jesus is your elder brother. The truth is, when the devil tries to pick on you, all you got to do is say, oh, hey, devil, here's my elder brother right here. He's bigger than you, dude. Bigger than you. I want you on my team. My team. Here's the next step on how to get the Holy Spirit to come upon you. Look to Jesus. You'll receive power. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there it is again, F-humas. This is not a church doctrine. This is a biblical experience. We can't make a doctrine out of this. Jesus, you're the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. I'm looking to you. This is the promise of the Father you talked about in Luke 24, 49. I want everything you have for me, Jesus. I don't want to just barely get to heaven. I don't want to see how worldly I can be and get to heaven. I want to see how much of heaven I can get down here on this earth. How much my soul can be flooded with heaven. And then the next step, you just simply receive. And you do that, look at the last part of the verse. You do that by faith. The promise of the Spirit is received by faith. You take a step of faith. Here's how you do that. It's the next step. Go ahead and put the next step up there. You just start praising the Lord. Psalms 22:3 says, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In other words, you start praising the Lord and Jesus comes and sets up His throne right there on that praise. You get your eyes off of yourself and get your eyes on Him. It's not about how you look. It's not even about how you feel. It's all about Him. And then the next step after you praise the Lord is to just speak in another unknown language. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. And that's how the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Could we just close our eyes for a minute and lift our heads up? Could we just lift our heads up? Could we just lift our hands up? And just maybe give me a little bit higher note. And we'll just sing to the Lord a little bit. Just make up a song. Hallelujah. worship you, Lord. We worship you. We magnify you. We glorify you, Lord. Oh, we magnify you. We magnify you. We glorify you. Blessed be your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's just sing his name, Jesus. Just sing Jesus. 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 Oh, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Shibalabaku shadalabaku shadalabaku sadalabakuta. Imabarabosundiri balabaku shadalabaku shadatata. Hallelujah. Now just go ahead and ask him right now. You're thirsty. You're spiritually hungry. Just ask him right now, Lord Jesus, I want the Holy Spirit to come upon me. I ask you, baptize me in the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come upon my life. Holy Spirit, empower me. Holy Spirit, empower me right now. I cannot live this Christian life on my own strength. I cannot do this ministry on my own strength. It's too hard. It's too burdensome. It's too heavy. Holy Spirit, come upon me. Put the slide that shows all six steps on there. I look to you, Jesus. I receive right now. I receive right now. I receive the promise of the Spirit by faith right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I receive the promise of the Spirit right now by faith in Jesus' name. Now let's just praise him. Lord, I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. Now open up your mouth wide right now and speak out what the Holy Spirit gives you. Open up your mouth wide right now and speak out what the Holy Spirit gives you. Back up, say it again.
I need a little more monitor. I can't hear myself. I need a little more monitor.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just receive right now. We 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 receive right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, if you've already received the gift of the Holy Spirit, right now, ever so gently, reach your hand over and lay your hand on somebody's shoulder and just say, in the name of Jesus, receive right now. Receive right now. Receive right now. Receive right now in the name of Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, tongue be loosed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Receive the power of the Holy Spirit.
Receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Open up your mouth wide and praise Him right now. 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 Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Let there be a different generation of Spirit-empowered young believers. Spirit-empowered young believers right now. Spirit-empowered, Spirit-empowered. In the name of Jesus. Now turn around and lay your hand on somebody else. Lay your hand on somebody else. In the name of Jesus, receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Receive the power of the Holy Spirit right now. In the name of Jesus, receive the power of the Holy Spirit right now. Open up your mouth and speak out right now what God gives you. Back up and say it again. Back up, say it again. That's it. That's it. Don't be afraid to move your mouth, lips, tongue, jaw differently. Let the Holy Spirit give you new words. Let the Holy Spirit give you more words. Jesus, Jesus. You got to be willing to pray out loud. You got to be willing to pray out loud. You got to stick your glove up to catch a ball. You got to be willing to open up your mouth and speak out. Speak out loud enough to hear yourself pray. Loud enough to hear your voice. Jesus. Jesus. We want to reflect your great power. We want to show forth your intrinsic value. We want to see the works of the devil defeated. We want to edify God's people. Blessed be your holy name. Let's just persevere just a few minutes more. Just a few minutes more. Just a few minutes more. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Somebody's breaking through right now. Somebody's breaking through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. If your arms are tired, put them down. But put them right back up and say, Jesus, I want it all. I want everything you have for me, Jesus. I want to be Spirit-led. I want to be Spirit-empowered. I want to be Spirit-filled. Oh, Holy Spirit, come upon us. Holy Spirit, fall. Holy Spirit, fall. Holy Spirit, fall. Holy Spirit, fall. Let's persevere just a few more minutes. Just a few more minutes. Holy Spirit, fall. Holy Spirit, fall. And while Peter yet preached these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who believed. And they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. And there came from heaven the sound of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And tongues of fire sat upon each of them. And they all spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, fall. Holy Spirit, fall. Holy Spirit, fall. Something about the Holy Spirit falling. Holy Spirit, fall. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Now men pray with men and women pray with women. Come on, men pray with men and women pray with women. Come on, ladies. Ladies, pray with other ladies. Men, pray with other men. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We need some women right up here. We need some women right up here. Right up here, right up here, right up here. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, baptize some of our children here tonight. Holy Spirit, baptize some of our children here tonight. Baptize some of our children here tonight, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit.
Just a little bit longer. There's such a hunger here. Somebody's about ready to break through. Holy Spirit, come upon these men. Come upon these men. Come upon these men, Holy Spirit. Come upon our teenage boys. Come upon our young boys, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Tongue be loosed in Jesus' name. Yes, that's it. Let it go. Let it go. That's it. That's it. That's it. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. That's it. That's it. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want more of you, Lord. We want more of you. Holy Spirit, fall. Holy Spirit, fall. Holy Spirit, fall. Holy Spirit, fall. Hallelujah. Send us the fire, Lord. Send us the fire, Lord. Send us the fire, Lord. Shindere balabako, shindere balabako, shete te 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 te. Ooh, nalabaka, shindere balabako, nere balabako, shete. We do not receive because we're worthy. We do not receive because we're spiritual enough. We receive the Holy Spirit baptism because it's a free gift, just like salvation is a free gift. We don't figure it out. We can't fully figure out salvation, and we cannot fully figure out the Holy Spirit baptism. But we just receive right now. We receive right now in Jesus' name. We receive in Jesus' name. Glory. Hallelujah. Unere bala boko shendere bala boko shandere bala boko shanda. We cannot do this on our own, Lord. Holy Spirit, we need you to lead us into all truth. We need you to strengthen us. You are with us. You are in us. Lead us, Holy Spirit. Come upon us, Holy Spirit, that we can reach the lost in our generation. Thank you for this mighty baptism. Thank you for this mighty power. Thank you for this mighty anointing. Descend us all over the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Jesus. Scendere bala bocco, scendere bala bocco, scendere bala bocco te. Scendere bala bocco, scendere bala bocco, scendere te 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 bala bocco, shada. Unere bala bocco, scendere bala bocco, scendere bala bocco, scendere bala bocco, shada. Unere bala bocco, scendere te. Now let's pray for our churches. Let's pray for our churches. Use that prayer language to pray for your church. We pray for our churches. We pray for the under shepherds of our churches. We pray for the pastors, the angels of our churches. Help us to fulfill the call of God upon each church, in each community. In the name of Jesus, fill up our churches, Lord. Fill up our churches, Lord. Fill up our churches, Lord. Multiple services, souls, Lord. Help us to preach differently, pray differently, counsel differently, administrate differently, organize differently. Holy Spirit of God, Holy Spirit of God, empower us, quicken us, bring us back to life. Holy Spirit of God. Malaboko sendere balaboko sanda. Marabo sondere balabaka sende. Malaboko sendere balabahan soto. Marabo sondere balaboko sete tete. Jesus. Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I think it'd be awesome if every pastor that could, you'd lay hands on the people that came with you and you'd pray for people from your church. Can you get over by your pastors? And I know this church, there's several pastors, so Pastor Kevin can't pray for everybody, but I think it'd be awesome if every pastor that was here prayed for the people that came with you from your church. And if nobody came from you, came with you from your church, then you could help pray for a bunch of these people from New Life here and pray for them, that we would all be Spirit empowered. We would not be ashamed of the Holy Spirit. We would embrace the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We would demystify the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. We would have a real living, loving, growing relationship with the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to talk with the Holy Spirit. I encourage you every day to say, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, direct me. I'm just going to ask the pastors to pray for their parishioners. It's been great being with you. I love you. Thank you for your hunger. Thank you for inviting me, Pastor Kevin. Let's demonstrate God's great power. Let's flow in God's power in the name of Jesus. God bless you. We love you.